Yep, children's church dismissed. Well, I'm glad to be here today. I just want to give you guys a warning. I was third choice for today. I'm going to do something different. I usually just get right into the scripture and try to preach through the text. Today, I'm doing a topical sermon. A little different for me. This opportunity doesn't happen very often, and I'm a grandpa, so we're going to see 45 pictures of my granddaughter. Actually, I'm going to be talking about becoming overcomers. Overcomers. And the reason I want to talk about becoming overcomers is because there is something we have to overcome. In your life, in my life, all of us, as we've come here today, we have things to overcome in our lives. See, there's this false belief out there that if we love God enough, and if we follow Him, and if we're good enough people, that life is going to be easy and no bad things will come in our path. Have you heard that belief? Just good things will come. Retribution comes to those who do bad things. Bad things happen to them. But in John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Listen to this promise. In this world you'll have trouble. Ooh. In this world you'll have what? Trouble. You'll have trouble. And he says, "I have overcome the world." Why? Why in this world are we going to have trouble? Well, I can give you some reasons why. In Genesis 16:17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, surely you will die." Now, this was a time when the rule book for mankind was this thick. How many rules did men have to follow? Don't eat from this tree. He could have put all the rules, and he could have nailed it right on the tree. Don't eat from this tree. Can he? I mean, that's all the rules there were. And Satan came, he says, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? Surely you won't die." And what happened? They ate from it. Eve took a bite, and then she offered it to Adam, and he didn't know what it looked like, so he took a bite too. He knew what it looked like, and he took a bite. He ate. And from that time, there was a curse. Did you know we're living in a world that's under a curse? Genesis 3, verse 16 through 19, "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow will you eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" There's a whole bunch of problems listed here that we have to overcome. One, there's going to be family problems. Did you realize that was part of the curse? There's going to be family problems. There's going to be pain in childbirth. But you know, not just that. That wasn't what it was limited to. There's going to be pain in raising those children. I have seen the best parents have kids that just go crazy. How many of you seen that? How many have experienced it? Promised, it's going to happen. It's hard work. Part of the curse. Marital relationships are now harder. They're under a curse. Did you know in the New Testament it says husbands don't lord it over your wives, but love them? But what does it say in the Old Testament, part of the curse? It's part of it. Now, I know guys who say, the Bible says I should rule over my wife. Well, if you want to be part of the curse, you know, you're to love your wife. You should lead. You should lead, but you should do it in love. I'm in problems here. There's going to be financial problems. You're going to live by the sweat of your brow. Have you ever thought, I'm finally going to get ahead? How many of you thought that for a short time? You know, that is when the water line goes out to your house, right? That's when you need car fixed. That's when you go to the doctor and you have medical bills. The earth is cursed. Did you realize that? In that curse, the earth is cursed. The ground is very ground. And now we have earthquakes. We have drought. We have snowstorms. We have tornadoes. We have tidal waves. You know, snowstorms. You know, this keeps going on. And then here's the big part of the curse. We will die. Sorry. You're going to die. Because from dust, it talks about, from the dust you came, to dust you return. That's where that old joke came from about the little boy came to his mom. Says, is it true we came from the dirt? And she goes, yeah. And we're going back to the dirt. And she goes, yeah. And she said, better look under my bed. Someone's either coming or going. This body's only going to last so long, isn't it? We are fragile beings. And not only am I going to die, the older I get, the more fragile I become. 2 weeks ago, I started seeing these little lights flashing in the side of my eye. And then I saw these little spiders falling down in the middle. And then it looked like someone took a bucket of sand and threw it up and took a picture of it. And there was little spots everywhere in front of my eye. And so I run to the optometrist, and he says, well, so what you're having is a detachment of the gel that's kind of inside your eye there from the retina. And when that happens, sometimes it causes a little tear. Or he says, this happens when you get older. What? I'm young. This couldn't happen to me. But I'm getting older. How many of you have had problems with that, getting older? And age isn't the only thing about my body. There's disease I have to fight. There's colds, cancer, bad knees, arthritis. You guys could probably just throw in things, it's just not working right anymore. Or, how long do we have to live? Maybe not long. There's handicaps. I work at the high school with kids with handicaps. I work with kids, they know what's going on, but they can't say a word. Can you imagine not being able to say a word? Sometimes it's so frustrating, they hurt themselves, they hit themselves. I can't talk to you. It's so unfair, isn't it? We live in a world that's under a curse, and it is unfair. Another reason we need to become overcomers is we have an enemy. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We have an enemy that wants to kill. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill me. He wants to steal everything that you have of value. And he wants to destroy you. That's what we all face. We have to overcome that. Ephesians 4, verse 26 through 27, it says, in your sin, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and give the devil a foothold. Did you know, in the original language, that means a territory. That foothold means a territory in your life. The devil is looking for territory in you that he can claim. Did you know that? A piece of your life, he can say, this is mine. That's what he's looking for. And if he can get us with anger, addictions, false beliefs. You know, false beliefs can take a territory. Was it Shirley MacLaine went on the beach and goes, I am God. Boy, what a nice belief. That's really going to take you a long ways. You know, God's looking down. I don't think so. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 through 26, is that those who oppose him, he must gently instruct and in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. He's talking about the devil. What does he do? He sets a trap. I've never been a trapper out in the mountains, but usually when you set a trap, what do you need? Bait. The devil knows what you will fall for. And he sets traps. And he wants to pull you in. This is stuff we have to overcome. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is looking for us. He is looking for a weak spot. And he wants to devour us, not just kill us. And he's a roaring lion. I was thinking about this. If you're out in the woods and a bear attacks you, what do you do? If it's a bear, you play dead. It'll lose interest and leave. What happens if it's a roaring lion? What happens if you play dead for a roaring lion? Dinner! Yeah, yeah. If a roaring lion attacks you, you don't play dead. I'm going to outrun it. Good luck. I guess if an alligator attacks you, you can try to outrun it. But not a roaring lion. Do we have anything to overcome? A cursed world. An enemy that's been attacking us. We have things to overcome, don't we? Everyone that has come here, if anyone has come in and said, no, I got things handled. You know, no problems here. We always ask, how are you doing? Fine. You know, we're coming here with battles, aren't we? And we're called to be overcomers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm going to give Ken Mayberry's version. It's time to fight. It's not time to lay down. It's not time to run. Sometimes it's just time to fight, isn't it? Did you guys hear this week the man in Colorado who was attacked by the mountain lion? He was out for a jog, just out going for a jog in his jogging clothes. And he hears something behind him and he turns around and it's a mountain lion, and it jumps on him, and it's going for his face and throat. And he knocks it back. And he does everything in the book that you're supposed to do when you face a mountain lion. He made himself big. He yelled. He threw a rock at it and hit it, which was probably better than I could have done. All right, I'll hit you just like I hit that tree. Yeah. He yelled, and the lion leapt on him again, going for his face and neck again. You know, he could have tried to run. What would have happened? Man, he could have laid down. He could have given up. He could have said, you know, this thing's coming at me with teeth and claws. And I have nothing. He didn't have a knife. He didn't have anything. But he fought back. He didn't give up. He took his bare hands, wrapped them around the throat of that mountain lion. And what do you think that mountain lion was doing when he grabbed that mountain lion around the throat? Man, that mountain lion had to be going at him with its claws. And he did not let go. In fact, the article I read said he pushed the mountain lion down, threw his legs on top of that mountain lion, and just squeezed. And he choked that mountain lion to death. Woo! You guys gives me a chill, you know. That lion wanted to kill him and eat him. And that man then got up, walked to his car, drove himself to the hospital. In the hospital about 3 days, and he went home. Isn't that amazing? And we have a lion, a roaring lion after us. Okay? A roaring lion's after us. Do we run? Sometimes we just keep doing what we're doing. Oh, you know, he won't catch me. Do we play dead? No. We are overcomers. All of us. That's what God has called us to be. We're overcomers. And you think about that illustration that's given to us out of the scripture, what a lot of us and what you are facing is that serious, isn't it? It's as serious as that mountain lion attacking that guy. And we have a Lord on our side who is an overcomer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He knows every attack we will face, even death, and overcame it. And we have him on our side. We have a body of believers to stand with us. Do you know what I love about this church? We have leaders who are real people. Do our leaders have struggles? Do they have attacks by Satan? Oh, yeah. Do they live in a cursed world? Oh, yeah. And yet, they'll fight with you. They'll fight with you. It says that we overcome evil with good. So what are the good things I can do to help me overcome the attacks? Well, one of the things I love is worship. Do you find strength from worship? Boy, I do. You know, I've driven limousine. And the people in the back of that limousine don't always have clean language. They don't always have clean stories, clean lives. And when I get out of that limo, sometimes I get out going like this. Ugh, yuck. And I can't wait to get here and the music starts, and I just go, wash me clean. Because I want to hear praise to God, and I want to hear the good things that come from the worship here. In fact, sometimes I'm asked to serve, you know, to pass trays and stuff. Okay, other servers. What happens when I'm the one that has to help serve? Yeah, someone has to knock me on the shoulder because I get into that worship. I'm gone. Sorry. Overcome evil with good. We have good support groups here. Why is it, and tell me if you're the same way, when I have something to overcome in my life, I want to do it alone. Why? I do. Man, I pray. I fight alone. Lord, let no one know that I am fighting a fight. And I'm going to do this alone because I am a man. Man, it's so much better when I got an army with me. You know, a few people who are going to fight with me, the leaders in the church, my Sunday school class, maybe with my men's group or women's group. You know what we have here in this church that I think is one of the most powerful groups? We have Mary's Widows. They are overcoming probably some of the hardest things in life. How about the loss of the one that they've loved the most in their life? Is that hard? And they've come together and they have fought the fight together. And I see more joy out of those ladies, more ministry out of those ladies, just because they've come together to help each other. And we should have that in the church, shouldn't we? Yeah. When we fight the fight, don't fight alone. Yeah, because we're not to be overcome, we're to overcome. John, 1 John 2:14 says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Yay. Overcomers. Okay. And this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has become the world, even our faith has overcome the world. We're called to overcome by obeying God, by following him, by loving each other. We're to overcome as we fight. So, what's the first thing we do to overcome? We fight. Of course, it's not fighting like the world thinks, you know. But we fight with each other and standing and being in God's word and loving each other and upholding each other. But we're not only to fight. Now, this is going to seem backwards. To overcome the world, we must also rest. We fight, and we do what? Rest. We live in a cursed world, and we are attacked by an enemy that is ruthless. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. There's time to fight, and there's time for what? Rest. I want to encourage you to plan your rest time with God. He calls us to come to him. And he knows the burdens we carry. You know, Satan, this is Satan's trap. He attacks you. He attacks you. And in a weak moment, you might fall for one of his attacks. Maybe one of his traps. And then he says to you, God doesn't want you. Is that true? It's not true. God still wants you. He's still saying, come to me, you who are weary. You who have been attacked. You who have been trapped. Come to me. Isn't that what God's saying? Isn't that what our Lord says to us? Come to me, and I will give you rest. When we're angry, we're battling temptation. When we're in the midst of being overcome, what's before us, and we're just beat to pieces, he calls me, and he calls you. I've heard people say, boy, if I walk through those doors of the church, the lightning will come, you know, the sky will fall because you don't know what I've been through. Well, God knows what you've been through. And what is he doing? He's calling you. He's saying, come to me, and I'll give you rest. In this world, you shall have tribulation. It's a given. Every one of you. I see people here who've battled cancer, broken families, who've maybe battled addictions, who've, man, had a hard time with their kids. And God calls you to overcome. You're going to be an overcomer. Fight. Don't lay down. Don't try to run from it. But fight and rest in him. Someday this fight's going to be over, isn't it? Getting closer for all of us. Every day it's a day closer. You know, we even sang about it. You know, someday I will close my eyes for the last time. And this life that I live in this body is going to be over. Oh, I'm supposed to say, worship team, you can come forward. And you know what? Jesus faced that one too. And he overcame death. And someday I'll go to spend eternity with the Lord. Then I'll really know rest, don't I? I'll really know what it's like to overcome. We've all come with the need to overcome. Don't run from it. And if you need someone to fight with, we're here. We're here, aren't we? If you need a Lord that will take you just as you are to give you rest in him, he's here. And sometimes we just need to take the first step. God's just waiting. Saying, you want to overcome, you come to me. And he's waiting for you. He called you here. There's a lot of people that aren't here that he called. But he's calling. And as we sing our closing song, I'm going to go to the back. And if you need to make a decision to follow Christ, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about him and get you in contact with our pastor. Because it's time. It's time to fight, isn't it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have a lot of trouble in this world. And Lord, sometimes it's really heavy. And sometimes we see no way out. But you've called us to be here to love you. And you have promised that you have overcome this world. So Lord, we're going to fight in your name to overcome. And we're going to rest in you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.